This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh for part two of the Morning Farm Show in just a few moments. On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, March wheat ended the week at 485 and three quarter. That was up 4.5. May wheat ended at 482.5, up 2. July wheat ended at 486.5, down 1.25. March corn on Friday ended the week at 379.25, down 3.5. May corn ended at 386, down 4.5. July corn ended at 394, down 4.25. March soybeans on Friday ended the week at 979.25, unchanged. May beans ended at 985, down 0.5. July beans ended at 990.5, down 0.5. March soybean meal on Friday ended the week at $337. That was up 26. May meal ended at $327.70, up 0.25. July meal ended at $325, up 16. March soybean oil on Friday ended the week at $31.14, down 29. May oil ended at $31.28, down 29. July oil ended at $31.46, down 30. March oats on Friday ended the week at $2.95.25, up 2. May oats ended at $2.83. That was down 3.5. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Friday afternoon. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 to 5 cents on Friday, ranging from 357 to 379, while soybean bids ended steady at 947 to 969. In the central Illinois area, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 5 cents lower at 347 to 383, and soybean bids were steady to a penny lower at 958 to 986. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 5 cents at 362 to 381, soybean bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 961 to 990, and the wheat bids up 2 cents at 396 to 468. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were a penny lower at $9.87 to $10 even, basis steady ranging from 2 to 15 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $360 to $367 a ton. That is $2.60 to $5.60 per ton higher, with basis steady to $3 higher at $23 to $30 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 5 cents lower at $3.83 to $3.89, with basis steady range from 3 under to 3 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at $3.82 to $3.90, basis up 3 to 6 cents at 4 under to 4 over the May. Soybean bids ended mixed at $9.81 to $9.89, with basis mixed ranging from 4 under to 4 over the May. New crop wheat prices a penny lower on Friday at $4.67 to $4.81, with basis steady ranging from 20 under to 6 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 4 lower at $4.02 to $4.04. These same elevators place their soybean prices steady to 2 cents lower with quotations at $10.08 to $10.09. Soft wheat 2 cents higher on Friday at $4.83 to $4.93. And Milo ended 4 to 5 lower at $4.61 to $4.62. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.66 up to $3.85. New crop soybean bids at $9.04 up to $9.30. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.66 to $3.81. New crop soybean bids at $9.27 to $9.40. And in the southern part of the state on Friday, new crop corn bids range from $3.69 to $3.81. New crop soybean bids at $9.08 to $9.39. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from $4.47 up to $4.75. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday. April hogs ended the week at 66.12, down 70. May hogs ended at $77.25, down 20. June hogs ended at $80.05, down 35. April live cattle on Friday ended the week at $154.65, up $1.37. June cattle ended at $147.10, up $1.07. August cattle ended at $144.92, up 77. March feeder cattle Friday ended at $209.72, up $3.15. April feeders ended at $208.57, up $3.20. May feeders ended at $207.45, up $2.77. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday, the 6th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 60 cents lower in the range of $54.50 to $64.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $63.41. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 25 to 31. 4 to 5 weights, 27 to 34, 5 to 6 weights, 29 to 35, and 6 weights and up, 30 to 38. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $38 to $45. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 10,097 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 264 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 158 to 163. Choice slaughter heifers were 157.25 to 162.50. They also had some slaughter cows. Breakers were 103 to 110 with a high dressing at 114 to 115. Boners were 103 to 110 with the high dressing at 111 to 114. Leans were 94 to 101. They also had some slaughter bulls. Those under 1,400 pounds were bringing 121 to 122, and those over 1,600 pounds were 124 to 130. Now we have a report from Carthage Livestock Auction. They had a special feeder cattle sale, 305 head. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, four weights were 259 to 277, five weights 224 to 257, and six weights 221 to 251. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, four weights were 227 to 249, five weights were 201 to 226, and six weights were 195 to 215. Now from the In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 158 to 165, and on a dress basis, 252 to 257. Heifers on a live basis traded at 158 to 163, and on a dress basis, 256. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 273 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.82, and that was 55 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $248.48, and that was 72 cents lower, with select carcasses at $244.39, that was $2.19 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated to be 102,000. That compared to 102,000 last week and 102,000 a year ago. Cattle slaughter on a year-to-date basis is still running 6.4% behind. Hog slaughter was estimated at 410,000. That compared to 419,000 last week and 414,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, hogs slaughter is running 2.3% ahead. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now that normalization of trade relations with Cuba is underway, ag groups are eager to establish lines of communications with Cuban counterparts. An ag delegation recently traveled to Cuba. Part of that delegation was Montgomery County's very own Thomas Martin. Martin was in the station to share the details of his trip.
Absolutely. It was an exciting opportunity to return to Havana. I had the opportunity to go there in 2012 with the Illinois Farm Bureau, and we had a market study tour where we had farmers from across the state of Illinois that took part in this trade opportunity. And there was definitely a lot of things that we found on the ground, opportunities, challenges. It was really interesting to compare that, though, with today in 2015, this time frame after the December 17th, 2014 announcement by President Obama. There's definitely a lot of hope and optimism on the ground. This trip was the United States Ag Coalition for Cuba, which was formed actually earlier in 2014 prior to that announcement, but definitely got a lot more media attention after the fact. And it's a coalition that includes various farm groups, commodity groups, agribusinesses, everything from Illinois Farm Bureau to Missouri Rice to SunMade, raisin growers over in California, Cargill, you name it, it's probably part of this. We even had St. James Winery over in Missouri was a part of this delegation. Very broad group that is seeking to normalize relations so we can hopefully have a productive trade relation with Cuba.
And what would you say were some of the most beneficial parts of the trip in terms of establishing that line of communications and normalizing relations? I know you met with many of Cuba's ag leaders.
Right. We had a lot of productive meetings through the day, this back on Monday the 2nd, and we focused a lot on what are some of the opportunities, what are some of the struggles that Cuba still faces despite the changes that we've had in our relations with Cuba. We saw the desire for more foreign investment from the United States into Cuba, developing some domestic industries, working with them, whether that be on ports or mills or other facilities to process ag products. There's still a lot of those that are tied up through the embargo, which, I mean, I'm really hoping that this year, 2015, that we can get that done with some of the momentum that we have going on with Cuba. I'd really hate to see that go into 2016 and get tied up in presidential politics. We all know that nothing good normally happens in a presidential election year. We just kind of take our focus off of working. But the meeting with those government officials was definitely productive. They were much more open with us on this trip than they were in the past, more willing to discuss some of their struggles, which I definitely appreciated in our discussions. Like I say, it's really hard to quantify. It's not necessarily tangible, but there's definitely a change that has happened on the ground. People on the street are more willing to talk. There's just so much more optimism that finally we're seeing some progress in U.S.-Cuban relations.
More of a change in atmosphere.
Right. Yeah. Like I say, it's just very hard to put a number to it or find some way to quantify that. But the atmosphere on the ground is just very different.
And there is reason to hope if this moves forward. We were talking off mic about some of the disparities that you witnessed firsthand between Cuban agriculture and what we see in modern farms here in America.
Right. I had the opportunity to visit a tobacco farm in the province of Pinar del Rio, which is actually west of Havana in the island. And in that area, we saw several fields of tobacco. We also saw sugarcane, rice, sorghum, various crops. But what was stunning to me, we saw a lot of oxen being used. You know, it's hard to say that they're necessarily a part of modern agriculture when we still see draft animals being used like that. And they didn't even really have wagons with their tobacco production for moving the leaves to the barns. They were just on skids being sledded in. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for technology to be exchanged, some equipment to be exchanged between our nations. I think there's some opportunities for investment in that area of agriculture. And we've seen a change actually in the countryside. One thing that's different than it was maybe 20 years ago, as we see a lot more cooperatives being formed where farmers are being given use of the land and being able to freely create cooperatives that can sell any excess that doesn't have to go already into government quotas. That excess can actually be sold in a free market in Cuba or even exported to some other countries around the world where they can command a higher price for their products.
Well, it definitely seems like establishing these communications relationships are key in moving forward together in relations with Cuba. Were there any tentative plans made or concrete plans, even just in terms of continuing communication or any goals set to help try to bring these two countries together?
One thing I know from the USACC side of things is we are looking at working more with Congress on hopefully, again, trying to make this embargo go away sooner rather than later. It's been counterproductive both for U.S. interests and Cuban interests, and any hope that was hoped for in the establishment of the embargo clearly has not been achieved in 54 years and actually 57 years since the revolution. So, I mean, I think that certainly an open trade relationship will help more on that. As far as more concrete things, I know we had the opportunity to meet with Allimport, which is the group that imports products into Cuba. Again, some of our struggles continue to exist because of the embargo. We can sell to Cuba a lot more products than we could in the past, but the issue is we're not able to have that two-way trade, which is essential. I mean, there are products I think that Americans would be very interested in from Cuba. And that also gives them more cash on hand to be able to purchase American products. If we just expect to sell to them, but we're not going to buy back, that's not really trade. That's more sales. and so what we need is trade. And trade, I think for us, we'll see some additional exports of U.S. corn, U.S. soybeans, U.S. rice. What we hopefully could be looking at imports is some of their value-added products. Their high-quality tobacco products like cigars, their high-quality rum that's made from sugarcane right there on the island. There's opportunities with aquaculture. They do a lot of offshore aquaculture, which for whatever reason we are not allowing in the United States. And that's an opportunity for us to sell them soybean meal and then to buy some of that fish product back into the United States as a value-added product. Winter vegetable production, I think, could be another opportunity for Cuba to export to the United States. And, I mean, they have not really put a lot of resources into it, but with their history and ability to grow sugarcane so efficiently in Cuba, if given the right technologies and fertilizers, I think we could see them entering the global ethanol market as well and possibly exporting ethanol for fuel. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities on both sides of this. Certainly, I think they would benefit a lot from our technology. I didn't go on the visit, but I know they were talking about with rice that their yields on rice are half of what they are in Arkansas, Missouri, Louisiana. And when I saw some of the sugarcane fields on our drive out to the tobacco farms, just pale green. I mean, clearly they need some nitrogen and other fertilizers to be applied, but right now they're not able to have access to some of those agrochemicals and fertilizers that we do. And so their crops are continually going kind of downhill on production ability. And, you know, it's something that I think we see that they have some opportunities that they have to gain from us, and we definitely have a lot of opportunities to sell to them.
It definitely does sound like a two-way street of opportunity here, and I think it is just great that even without the embargo lifted yet, with just the effort of normalizing relations with Cuba, you said that the atmosphere has changed so much. What is it that you personally are hoping to see in the near future and perhaps the far future? And what was the feel you got from the trip that everyone who was involved in this trip was hoping to see in the future and also get out of this trip?
Again, I mean, it comes right back to the embargo. In the near future, here in the year 2015, I'm hoping that we'll have some courage in Congress to move forward on this. I think this is one area that Republicans and Democrats can work together on. I myself, I'm a Republican, and Republicans believe in trade, you know, and that's been a tenet of the Republican Party is that we are a pro-trade party. And we have seen that the Democrats also agree with us. And so, I mean, I think that this is a great bipartisan opportunity for Republicans and Democrats in Congress and the White House to work together. And if nothing else happens, we can at least move forward on some of these trade deals, whether that be getting rid of this antiquated embargo against Cuba, moving forward on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, trade with the EU, the Trade Promotion Authority. We have so many opportunities that we have to work together, whatever party you're a part of, to put more Americans to work and to increase our export potential. And I really hope that Congress will have that courage here in the near future. Long term, I hope that we can see additional exports again of soybean meal, soybean oil, corn for feeding livestock down there, additional meat exports. Right now, they are importing a significant amount of U.S. chicken and U.S. soybeans with rice, even though that might not impact us directly here in central Illinois. Right now, they're importing their rice from Vietnam. That's 28 days away for it to ship from Vietnam to Cuba. Vietnamese rice starts off lower quality than U.S. rice, and it only deteriorates in its quality over that 28 days. Conversely, to send rice out of the Mississippi River, once you leave the port of New Orleans, it's 2.5 days to Cuba for rice, and we have the best rice in the world. And so a lot of these are no-brainers for us, but again, we're just so held up by this idea that, well, we can't move forward, you know, we gotta stay the course. Well, staying the course has accomplished none of our goals that we hoped for 54 years ago.
Very well said, and you are right that this sounds like an issue, one of the few issues that both Democrats and Republicans can come together and actually agree on, and hopefully we do see some movement this year on that issue. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we go? Any other key tidbits of information you'd like to give about the trip?
Well, I say it was a very broad coalition. We were fortunate to have with us First Lady of Missouri, George Ann Nixon. She attended this visit to Cuba with us, as well as former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture John Block. He served, I believe, 6 years under President Reagan. We also had with us former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Espy, who was a Secretary of Agriculture under President Bill Clinton. And they definitely both headlined for us on the trip. You know, great, great Americans who have had some substantial involvement in moving trade relations, whether that be Secretary Block with the USSR on ending that embargo, or Secretary Espy working on GATT and NAFTA, as well as establishing some of our HACCP protocol. Both of these are very well-accomplished Americans. Unfortunately, originally Governor Jay Nixon was supposed to join us on the trip. He was unable to due to the untimely death of Missouri's state auditor general. So he had to stay back home in Missouri. But we were fortunate to have First Lady George Ann Nixon with us.
All right. Any hopes for a third trip in the future here?
Absolutely. I think that's going to be part of moving relations forward, is continued visits between our countries. My hope is if I have that opportunity for a third visit, it'll be post-embargo. And I'm hoping that might be as soon as the end of the year.
Again, that was Montgomery County farmer and Farm Bureau Young Leader member Thomas Martin. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.